Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Another championship comes to Titletown, USA, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I know everybody thinks that it's tough around here. Oh, the Brewers, they don't win a World Series. Oh, the Bucks get bounced from the bubble. Oh, the Packers can't get back to the Super Bowl. We're champions again. The Milwaukee Milkmen have won the American Association. They beat the Sioux Falls Canaries 4-1 last night in Game 5 of the series, and the Milwaukee Milkmen are champions. The Milwaukee Milkmen have won a title. The Milwaukee Wave recently won a title. The Milwaukee Admirals have a Calder Cup to their name. So all these teams are getting it done, and the Brewers can't seem to join them. The Bucks haven't joined them in 50 years. But don't overlook, we've got some champions in this city. Congratulations to the Milkmen. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Ryan Horvath. Good morning, everybody, to you. 414-799-1250. And again, congratulations to the Milwaukee Milkmen. We're going to talk a lot of Packers today. Packers-Bucks. Or Packers-Lions, I should say. I'm thinking ahead. I'm going to talk about the Bucks here in a second.
The Tampa Bay Bucks or the Milwaukee Bucks?
I'm thinking ahead. Yeah, I'm thinking ahead to Packers Buccaneers.
Okay.
Because everything I look at is Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. I think they roll this weekend, by the way. We'll do our picks in the 9 o'clock hour. And looking forward to that as always. But the Packers Lions this weekend, we're going to look ahead to that one. That's in 2 days. We'll take your predictions, give our final thoughts on this game coming up on Sunday. I do think a lot about the Bucks, though. You and I were in here last night for the Bill Michaels huddle, which is in a virtual setting this year. Unfortunately, we can't go out to the bars and talk to you guys and talk to you guys during the break. And then people not knowing that we're on the air. It happens at least once a show where we're on the air, clearly having a conversation.
Yeah.
And then someone will come up and go, "Hey, are you, which one are you?"
No. What I always get is,
"I'm on the air, lady."
Yes. That has been happening literally since I got into the biz and I was in Iowa. It used to be much worse because I would be doing these remotes and people would just, "Hey, do you know when the parade is going to circle on 37th Street? I want the Tootsie Rolls." And I'd be like, "I'm literally on the air, lady." But when I started here and we would do the remotes, like when we did the Brat Bowl, you know, we'd be giving something away. They'd be giving away like an autographed Leroy Butler jersey. And these ladies would just come up to us in the middle of the show and be like, "So when do I get the giveaway? What are you guys giving it away? You're not giving it away until 5 o'clock? I got to get home by noon." And I'd be like, "Lady, I'm doing a radio show right now as we speak."
Yeah, or even worse is, because giveaways get a lot of attention, but we could be having a conversation saying, "I think in this game, the Lions need to set the edge." And then someone will come up and say, "How do you think the Packers will do?"
Yeah. I'm literally talking about it right now on the air, bud.
The line, if they set the...
Now, I will say one good thing about remotes.
But I missed that. I missed that last night doing Bill's Huddle.
Well, right, because you and I usually make friends. Sometimes we like to stay a little bit after the remote, and you made a good buddy at the Brat Bowl. What was his name? We ended up, I think, having him on the show. I think he's a farmer, well-known alcoholic, sort of unlike yourself. What was his name?
Oh, don't do this to me, man.
You can't remember his name?
How am I gonna? I think it was either Art or Abe.
I want to say Abe. All I know is he was hammered by 9 a.m. Somehow, I did the pregame show. He beat me to the Brat Bowl. He was there before I... He, like, camped out or something like that.
Yeah.
He was on his fifth beer, and I was wrapping up the pregame show. We were just beginning our show. So, yeah, we always make buddies. We always make friends. It's going to be a little bit different in the virtual setting. Still a good time, but nowhere near as fun.
Yeah, so we were talking about that game last night, the Packers-Lions, but on the TVs in the studio where we did it from, we had the Heat-Celtics game on. And I do try to think, like, what would things be like if the Bucks were still in it? You know, you'd be having these games, and we'd be talking about the Packers, but there'd still be the Brewers pennant race, which they are in one, and there would still be the Packers series. But with the Bucks going on, at the same time, it'd be very overwhelming in a very good way. It's just, it sucks when your team gets bounced and then they're talking about offseason stuff and, you know, Giannis having this meeting. And I open up Twitter now. I gotta quit Twitter for a little bit because I can't. The next trade proposal, I can't do it.
Oh, my God, I know. And they're so ridiculous.
I can't. I cannot see Middleton for Beal. I can't see Bledsoe and every scrub for Chris Paul. I can't.
I love
how do you guys spend so much time doing these trade proposals?
I love the five-teamers.
Oh, my God.
I like these, like, 3-4-teamers, and it's like the Bucks end up with, like, Anthony Davis, Bradley Beal, and Chris Paul for Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, one call, that's all guy. Like, we're just, like, throwing in pieces that nobody else wants and in return getting, like, the Eastern Conference or the LeBron James All-Star team.
So you guys play with these trade machines, and it's not just, like, oh, you're going to the best trade that you come up with, you'll post. No, you show your work. You guys are tweeting every... Oh, this one didn't work. Tweet, 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 tweet-lee-dee-dee, tweet-lee-dee-dee. Every single one. So maybe I got to get off Twitter for the weekend because I can't take another trade proposal. But it would, you know, you do think about, well, what if the Bucks were still in it? We wouldn't be getting to that point. Instead, it's the Miami Heat, who, in the same exact fashion in which they beat the Bucks, they are now beating the Celtics. They go down in this one, and I thought the game was over. And then I told you that, Horvat, last night, and you said, no, the Heat don't get out of bed till they're down double digits in the second half, and then that's what happened. He'd come back. Jay Crowder makes every three possible again. Goran Dragic, that's good.
They make those shots.
Bam Adebayo, big plays on both sides of the court. They do it every game. It's their blueprint. They're going to go down, and they're going to make the big shots that they have to make when they come back. And they're now up 2-0 on the Celtics, who apparently did not have a good time in the locker room last night. Reports that Marcus Smart was going crazy on his teammates. Everybody else then denying it. But guys like Mark Spears and them that are in the bubble, they reported what they heard. So now the Celtics are having some dysfunction. And it's at the hands of the Miami Heat. And right now, the Miami Heat have lost one game in the playoffs, and that's to the Bucks. So congratulations to us. We can put a banner up for that and maybe play some more, you know, we are the champions because we beat the Heat one time.
Yeah, and they won 3 straight quarters. Remember Coach Bud told us.
I think they actually won 6 straight quarters.
Oh, 6 straight quarters.
Yeah,
all right,
if I remember right.
All right, all right, all right.
Yeah, we,
there you go.
We beat the Heat. We're the only team that beat the Heat.
6 straight quarters.
Yeah. We did it.
You know,
we did it.
I got a quick take on the Celtics and Brad Stevens.
Please.
So I love Brad Stevens, and I think he is one of the best basketball minds on this planet. I think he's a great teacher of the game, and I think that's what his career should be, teacher of the game. I think he should go back to the collegiate level because since he's taken over. So when he first took over for the Celtics, they kind of overachieved because it was a rebuild and they had a bunch of young players, and he coached them up. And then all of a sudden, they got all those draft picks because Danny Ainge is a genius. They flipped them, and they came away with some really good players. They came away with some really good young talent, obviously, through the draft, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And I don't see a lot of drama with those kind of guys. But they also got a guy like Marcus Smart, who seems like a tough guy to get along with. The Kyrie Irving experience, that didn't last. It lasted literally a year. They signed Gordon Hayward. It just seems like there's been a lot of drama the last couple of years. And I think that Brad Stevens is a better fit for the college game. I think he should go back to the college game. I just think that he is a teacher of the game and not a babysitter. And the problem is every year they have these collapses, and every year there's drama in that locker room. I just think he needs to go back to the college game, or the Bucks need to fire Bud and hire Brad Stevens.
Oh,
because I think he would be a great fit for a team with no drama. And if Brad Stevens was coaching the Milwaukee Bucks, they would still be playing basketball right now.
Let's make a trade. Can we trade?
Could you throw that in the trade machine?
Yeah.
Bud for Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
And we'll take that. Tatum. Is it Tatum? My friend told me it's Tatum.
It's Jason Tatum.
Oh, Tatum.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he went to Duke. I would take that guy. Let's do DJ Wilson and Sterling Brown.
Let me put that in. DJ Wilson, Sterling Brown, Coach Bud for Brad Stevens and Jason Tatum.
Well, throw me in. I'll take. Who else should we take? I don't want Marcus Smart.
Well, let me just put this one in quick.
See if Gordon Hayward would be a fit. No, yeah, just go with that.
Does not work.
Damn it.
I'll take that screenshot and post it. You got any other ones? How about, I want to trade Robin Lopez for Eric Spoelstra. Let's see if that one goes through.
Yeah, give me that.
Now,
what about that draft pick? All right.
Nobody wants it.
Damn it. Yeah, but I think Brad Stevens needs to go back to the college game.
What about let's trade DJ Wilson, DiVincenzo, Sterling Brown in a draft pick for Bradley Beal?
Throw Thanasis in it. Or Thanasis.
That one doesn't work.
Damn it.
Let's trade Bledsoe and Sterling Brown and a pick for Chris Paul. That's not going through.
That one you might actually be able to, because Oklahoma City just wants to get rid of Chris Paul. It's crazy. Like, they overachieved. They were, what, the 4 or 5 seed in the West, and they didn't want that. So they were going to blow it up. So now Billy Donovan's gone, and they're going to blow up that roster rather than try to add pieces. I would take Gallinari in a heartbeat, but I don't know how much money that's going to cost.
Let's look at the Lakers. Let's trade Coach Bud for Jason Kidd. Whoa! Uh-oh. I think the machine's broke.
Kid's back. That means Giannis is running the point next season.
Something's wrong here, and that means we're getting Tony Snell back.
I'll take that. at least Jason Kidd would put Tony Snell in the game.
I like Tony Snell. I just don't know why they gave him 4 years, $40 million, like on John Horst's third day as GM.
How much did Dellavedova get?
Yeah, that too.
That was worse. Yeah, what the hell?
Horst isn't that good.
What the hell?
Is Horst a good GM?
Are they going to go into the luxury tax this year?
Nah, they say they will.
Who are they going to go into the luxury tax for?
I don't know.
Who would you, what would you do? Would you trade for Chris Paul? I'm going to be honest. This year, it would have been great in the bubble. I don't really want Chris Paul. I have, for some reason, all those moves that never worked out in NBA history, guys past their prime, that Nets team on the Sports Illustrated cover when they had Deron Williams and they had Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. But, I think of Steve Nash, Lakers Steve Nash, when they paired him with Kobe, and everybody thought, okay, Kobe's going to get another ring, and then Steve Nash played, 13 career games for the Lakers. I love Chris Paul's game. I like Chris Paul on the court. Can't really stand Chris Paul off the court, but I don't know. He's getting old, and, he was really good this year. He exceeded all expectations in Oklahoma City. But the year before that, he wasn't very good in Houston. The year before that, he really was good in Houston, but was unable to go game 7 because of the same lingering issues, injuries. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't have a good reason for it. I don't have a good feeling about it if they got Chris Paul.
I want a shot creator that's 24, 25 years old, which I know you're not going to be able to trade for. So I don't know how you...
Let's trade Eric Bledsoe
Give me Jamal Murray.
Yeah, for Jamal Murray. Well, that'll work.
Oh, nice. Does he get to finish the
Sterling Brown
finals?
For Devin Booker. Nice.
Yeah, you guys got to. Why is everybody trying to trade Devin Booker off my Suns, by the way? Why would the Suns trade Devin Booker? They didn't lose a game in the bubble. They drafted DeAndre Ayton to pair him with. Why in the hell would they trade Booker?
Let's trade DJ Wilson for Paul George. Oh, the Bucks said no to that one. Wow.
And Booker's probably, his career may be in trouble. He's dating not Kylie, the other one. The one that dates everybody, Kendall. Ben Simmons was with her. Oh. He's with her now, so I'm like really scared. You need to keep that Kardashian family.
Well, their show's coming to an end, so maybe there'll be less drama.
No. I want my NBA players away from the Kardashian family. You had Lamar Odom. We all know what happened with Lamar Odom. You had Chris Humphreys actually made it out alive because what he did was use Kim for the money and the recognition. He got
I forgot about him.
Big deal from Jay-Z and the Nets. Yeah, everybody forgot about him. That's why he went on the Kardashians. He got himself a deal because of the Kardashians. And then I think he bounced out of the league. I wonder if he's even in the league anymore.
No, got Chris Humphreys?
Yeah, what happened to him? He can't be. He's got to be like
our age. I forgot about him. I have no idea where he is.
I don't either. I'll Google it later. No, literally nobody listening cares.
414-799-1250. We care about the NFL. Crazy to see last night an Eastern Conference Finals game on at the same time. And the Stanley Cup's been decided. It's going to be Dallas and Tampa? Is that right?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Is that right?
I can't wait.
Come on. That's right, right?
It is right.
Okay.
I think. I was all
in. I'm 99% sure I know who's in the Stanley Cup.
Tampa Bay won last night 2-1. They won the series 4-2.
Okay, and they're playing Dallas.
They beat my Islanders.
Okay.
My Blackhawks were eliminated Kaner and Taser were eliminated a long time ago.
Oh, man.
I've been done with hockey, yeah.
We'll talk a little Bengals-Browns, and then we'll look ahead to Packers-Lions. All coming up, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath on the Fan.
Losing isn't very fun. This might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost two games in a row. Doesn't feel very good. I know guys in there are hurting. We're going to come back to work tomorrow and try to get this thing right. Losing is unacceptable to me, to everybody in there, to Coach Taylor, to everybody in this organization. So we're just going to have to get it fixed.
Welcome Joe Burrow to the show. Joe Burrow and the Bengals losing to the Browns last night, Thursday night football. I don't know what it was with last night, but I was so hyped up for that Bengals-Browns game.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Burrow versus Baker Mayfield, two young, exciting quarterbacks. Joe Burrow threw it 61 times and only had 316 yards on 61 throws.
Three touchdowns, though.
Which is, incredible when you look at the math. Browns in control most of this one. If you're the Browns, I don't know why you ever pass. You can go from Nick Chubb to Kareem Hunt.
Man, that final drive where they wrap it up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Those aren't your father or your grandfather's Bengals and Browns. Usually that's a matchup I would hate on Thursday Night Football. The only worst matchup is Tennessee-Jacksonville, which we get every season, and we always get it week 14 when both teams have been out of playoff contention for 8 weeks. But, look at both of those rosters, exciting rosters. Look at the Browns. I mean, literally that entire offense is exciting to watch. Baker Mayfield looked good last night, minus the one interception off play action that Stefanski drew up. That was the only mistake that he made all night. And even the Bengals. I love watching Joe Burrow. He's tough. And you got to think, man. Okay, so, right. He threw the ball a lot and only had 316 yards. But that's two straight weeks now where he's given his team a chance to win. And he's doing all of this coming off probably the most successful college football season ever, but he didn't have a full training camp, and he didn't play any preseason action. So his first live NFL action, he just jumps right into the regular season, and he's played two very competitive football games, and he's made some plays, not only with his arm, but with his feet. I really like his future.
Yeah, he looks good. The offensive line there needs some big-time work.
He just has so much confidence.
He says he's never lost two in a row anything ever.
I had to go back because
but he's
and
talking
he's right.
about even like as a kid.
Kid, yeah. I had to go back because
or like a cross country race or anything. He said in athletic competition. Here's Joe Burrow again.
This might be the only time in my sporting career that I've lost two games in a row. Doesn't feel very good.
That's amazing.
So the crazy thing about Joe Burrow, and this is why I really wanted a college football season, if it could be done safely, of course, because
right.
Joe Burrow would have been a fifth or sixth round draft pick who worked his way all the way up to being an undefeated national champion, Heisman Trophy winner, and now, you know, the first pick of the draft. But he would have been a fifth or sixth round choice. I go back to the year before, you know, he takes over that starting job midseason, and he really won his team over. But he was more of like an athletic quarterback. I mean, he took a big hit in their bowl game, and that's when he was like, you know, my teammates kind of rallied around me after that. They saw how tough I was. But then all last season, he came in with just like this confidence that I've never seen from a quarterback. I go back and I think of like college quarterbacks that looked that confident. Matt Leinart, but he didn't have the same talent. He didn't have the arm strength. He couldn't make the throws that Joe Burrow can. Joe Burrow has that confidence like an Aaron Rodgers, where he may come off a little cocky, but that's kind of where I want my quarterback. That's where I want his confidence level. He's like, even in the pocket, man, he knows the blitz is coming. How about the national championship game against Clemson last year? Right before, the play before the half, he stands in the pocket. Goal line situation, takes that huge hit, delivers a touchdown strike. He broke his rib on that play. Remember that? He came off the sideline and his teammates wanted to hug him and he was like, get away from me, get away from me. And I was like, he's done. Burrow's done. He went back into that game. He had to have had a broken rib. He's just so tough. He's so confident and he's so calm in the pocket. He's got that. He's like Tom Brady in the pocket. He knows he's about to get hit and he doesn't care. He steps up and makes the throws. That's impressive for a rookie that had no training camp and no preseason.
Very impressive. Three touchdowns for Burrow last night. Baker with the two touchdowns and the pick that you mentioned. Good to see Odell Beckham score. I mean, you watch the kind of route running this guy does. You don't want to trade for him because you think he's a diva. Him and Landry and Baker on the sidelines, yucking it up at the end. Everything seems fine in Cleveland right now. I was so pumped up for that game. We were in here doing the huddle last night, and Sam Schmitz was producing. And he said something. He goes, I would risk it all for those Browns unis. I just love how.
Which is funny because I got home, and my wife was also in love with those uniforms. She's like, you know what those remind me of, Ryan? Joliet Catholics.
Oh, shut up. You said you weren't going to mention that.
My wife mentioned it, not me.
Oh, God.
No, but they do kind of look like the uniforms. And I said, yeah, those are football uniforms, man. Like, that's what a football – that's what it should look like. Not these, like, bright blue and orange and color rush. None of that crap.
But Sam's a little younger, and I just love how – I'm going to call him a kid.
Yeah.
I would risk it all. I just thought that was so funny. And then I was texting my brother last night because we're in a fantasy league together and we're trying to figure out, it's a two quarterback league. We're trying to figure out Burrow or Baker. We went with Baker. Burrow ended up having more points. We still feel good about our decision. And I was kind of complaining to him. And then I said, dude, I'm going to read what I said. I said, God, life is so much better when there is football on.
Yes.
And my brother said, my roommate is just walking around as if nothing is happening. There's football on. I said, there is nothing better than the NFL. I get so into other sports. But then I watch every snap of Bengals-Browns, and it's like I'm rewatching my son be born. He said, if I miss a random Thursday night game, it is the end of the world for me. I love football.
You know what I used to do?
I love watching football.
I always have. And even if it was Tennessee and Jacksonville, what I used to do...
Oh, is that next week? It's Jacksonville somebody.
No, Jacksonville, Tennessee is actually this Sunday at noon on CBS.
Next Thursday, Jacksonville plays next Thursday night.
So I know it's Jacksonville, Tennessee at noon. Oh, they play Miami.
Miami, yeah.
Oh, even worse. Although,
but I am going to watch every minute of it like it's the Brewers in Game 7 of the World Series.
Bet your ass. You know what's funny is when I first started working here, I used to do some shows on Thursday nights, and I would do some other stuff, and I'd have to miss Thursday night football. So what I would do I would DVR the games and then turn my phone off and turn all my notifications off and not check Twitter, even if it was Jacksonville, Tennessee, because I don't miss any football. I refuse to miss football. College, NFL, I mean, it's a beautiful thing to have it back, man. It really is. And I just, hey, good news week one, because the Chiefs and the Texans opened up on that Thursday night game. They got their first round of COVID testing back, all negative. Not one player tested positive. That's a great start. We've made it through 1 week. We are now 2 days away from, well, we kicked off week two, but 2 days away from Packers-Lions. Good start. Let's keep it going.
Well, a fan got COVID.
Hey, that's his fault, man. And I'm not trying to be the jerk here, but did you see the fans in Cleveland last night? There was a fist fight in the stands. A fist fight during a pandemic. That's why we can't let fans into games. It could be safe if everybody just kept their...
Fans are starting to trickle back.
Keep your hands to yourself, bud.
Texans in week four are going to try to have 15,000. The Colts next week.
Yep.
Going to try to have 7,500.
Oh, they're getting fans into stadiums. I promise you.
The Titans are trying to get fans in there. The Saints are going to have fans when the Packers go down there next Sunday night.
Stop fist fighting in the stands. No high-fiving. And I think we'll be able to make this work. I think there will be fans eventually in every NFL stadium this season. I do truly believe that.
We brought up Chris Humphreys before, basketball legend. Michael tweets in, after basketball, he worked as a real estate agent, owned several fast food restaurants, and is now worth about $25 million.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so I wonder what he got out of that.
So the Junior Bridgman route, how he left sports and then owns a bunch of Wendy's.
You know how, like these Instagram models these days, they like to hook up with NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
And
morning radio hosts.
Live the... Morning radio host.
Me, I'm hooking up all over.
Oh yeah, you are. Yeah, you are quite the catch.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you get yourself a baller. You get yourself an NBA player. Chris Humphreys did it the right way, man. He was a baller who got himself a Kardashian. So I wonder if there was a prenup involved. He probably got some money out of that divorce and those royalties from those Kardashian episodes. I mean, I'm sure that they rerun some of those. Not that I would know, and not that I'm not going to be watching them at 8:30 p.m. tonight on the E Entertainment Network, but. I bet you he made a bunch of money off that. Now if he's doing that and owns a bunch of restaurants, shout out to him. Let's try to get him on. I'm going to try to get him on the show.
All right. What do you want to ask him?
I want to ask him if he perhaps still has Kim's number since she's going to be single very soon because Kanye urinated on his Grammy Award the other day. And rumor has it that the Kardashian family is not very happy with him. Mm. Or if he has Kylie's number because I believe she's also single now too. Her and Cactus Jack broke up.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's talk sports before we literally lose everything.
I have been. I don't know what you're doing.
You brought up Chris Humphreys again. I was done with Chris Humphreys.
I'm reading a tweet. I'm trying to make this show interactive.
You got to interact, baby.
414-799-1250. We're going to check in with Ryan Wood, get his prediction on this weekend, get some injury updates, our friend from PackersNews.com and the Green Bay Press Gazette as it's Football Friday, Packers, Lions coming up. We'll hear from Ryan Wood, get his prediction. Start to take yours, how you guys think this game is going to go down. And there is one area of the Lions where I've never been worried about them. Not for the last 15 years. This week I might be. 799-1250. More on that coming up next with Ryan Wood.
Sports Flash right now.
And good morning from the 105.7 FM, the Fan Sports Update Studio. I'm Ryan Horvath. First on the Fan, in the world of Kardashians. No, I'm kidding. The Packers take on the Lions this Sunday at Lambeau Field. The Packers swept their two regular season matchups with Detroit last season, despite never leading either game, until Mason Crosby made a pair of game-winning field goals as time expired. They meet again this Sunday with no fans in Green Bay's home opener at Lambeau Field. The Lions looking to bounce back after they blew a 17-point fourth-quarter lead in the 27-23 loss to the Bears last week, which would also mark their 10th consecutive loss, a skid that began last November. The Packers, in close games, meanwhile, 9-1 last season in games decided by 8 points or fewer. They open this season with a 43-34 victory at Minnesota. Again, kickoff at noon. We'll have post-game coverage to follow here on The Fan with Bill Michaels and former Packer and Badger Gary Ellerson. Week 2 kicks off last night with Baker Mayfield throwing a pair of touchdown passes. Nick Chubb ran for 2 scores and 124 yards. And the Browns give coach Kevin Stefanski his first NFL victory as head coach with a 35-30 win over the Bengals, celebrating the NFL's 100th birthday for which seems like, honestly, the 5th year in a row. Brewers, they're back at it. They look to tame a hot Kansas City squad that's all of a sudden won 7 of their last 8 games. Danny Duffy gets the ball for the Royals. His start against the Tigers on Tuesday skipped as a disciplinary measure after missing a team flight from Kansas City to Detroit. Righty Adrian Houser gets the ball for the Brewers. It's been a rough go for him so far this season. 1-5, 5.40 ERA, 0-5 in his last 7 starts, including a 12-0 loss to the Cubs in which he gave up 4 hits and 7 runs. In 4 innings. NBA action last night. Goran Dragic scored 25 points. The Heat take a 2-0 series lead in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Celtics with a 106-101 victory. More Packers talk on the Bart Winkle Show next.
Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veteran Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Lions. Sunday at noon, Lions head coach Matt Patricia had praise for the Packers tight end group.
Obviously, Mercedes Lewis, I have a ton of respect for him as a tight end and just, you know, as a guy who holds that position down. I'm sure he's the leader of that group. Tanyan is another great player that can really stress out the defense.
Aaron Rodgers says he plans to use the hard count to get the Lions to jump off sides.
We're going to keep trying to use it as a weapon, and if anything, it doesn't allow the defense to kind of get off on the snap.
And even though there won't be fans in the stands, getting a win at Lambeau is important. Packers linebacker Preston Smith.
We know it means a lot to come back home and play in our home stadium, and we know the expectations when we play in this stadium.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Marola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
And go, Pack, go! Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvat. Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, and the Green Bay Press Gazette. Ryan, good morning. We saw the Packers play on the road in week one. No fans. Some stadiums going to have fans this week. Fun fact, if you did not know, every team that is at home this week was on the road last week. Every team that is on the road this week was at home last week. First time that's ever happened since the merger. Did you know that?
I did not know that. You're teaching me things, Bart.
Yeah, put it in your story, like the very bottom.
At the very bottom.
Ryan, did you know Clayton Kershaw and Matthew Stafford actually grew up together?
Yeah, have you ever heard that on TV?
I did know that one.
Oh, okay, damn it. All right, that's all I really had for the show today.
Yeah, we thought we'd try to instill some knowledge to you. Hey, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers and listening to some of the stuff he had to say this week, and he brings up again the video that he watched of 2010 and 2011 and, you know, when he was winning a Super Bowl with the Packers. And he said, I still don't want to tell you what I saw. What he saw was he got rid of the ball, like, quicker, right? I mean, that's pretty much it. I watch that Super Bowl all the time because it's on my DVR. And, you know, some nights it's 2 a.m. and a friend's over pre-COVID and we'll get some toppers. And as we're waiting, I turn on the game. But he gets rid of the ball so quick. That's got to be the thing that he saw, right?
Well, he saw that. I don't know if that's what he considers the correction or the adjustment that he made in the game, because he also talked about being better balanced and just having a better platform to throw from. And he didn't say that that was it either, but he said, no, I'm not going to expound upon it, and then expounded upon it. So, but you're absolutely right with the release times. All right, so I did quite an expanded story on his release times at the end of right after week 17 last year, because if you remember, everyone, the talk was he's holding on to the ball too long. He's holding on to the ball.
I recall that story. That was, you put in a lot of work on that.
And so I stopwatched every single throw from his 2019 season, then went back to his 2011 season. And in 2019, in his 16 games, the regular season, he averaged 2.86 seconds from snap to release on his throws. On Sunday, it was 2.26. He dropped 0.6 seconds on average, and that's for 44 throws. That's a massive difference. That's more than a half second. So he had 11. So his best window is basically between 2 and 2.5 seconds, and that's within the offense. He had 11 throws between 2 and 2.5 seconds on Sunday. So he was maximizing his best window. He was maximizing being on time in the offense, something that we did not see from him basically all of last year. So it was a massive difference. So you cannot overstate just how big of a difference his being on time and releasing the ball within the rhythm of the offense was on Sunday compared to last year.
You know, that could be because
that the scheme allows for that too. One thing that I also heard Rodgers say this week is, because I've been somebody, I just want, and I didn't play football. I've studied football. I love football. One of the things I've wanted the last few years is, can you do something to like make the defense even think for a little bit that they don't know what's coming? And so pre-snap motion is, I think, a pretty obvious thing to do. But Rodgers said that he didn't like doing it, and McCarthy didn't like doing it. But I was surprised to hear that Rodgers wants things to be stationary before the snap. But, you know, I guess Matt LaFleur must have convinced him that, no, it's the, you know, 2020s. We got to do something. I was just surprised, Ryan, to hear that Rodgers said he wasn't a big fan of the pre-snap movement.
I wasn't surprised for this reason, because when things are stationary, there's more time to operate before the snap, right? I mean, these pre-snap motions take time to develop, and the less time that Aaron Rodgers has in terms of surveying the defense, audibling, making adjustments and whatnot before the play, before the snap, the less latitude he has at the line of scrimmage to be in control. So it's been a sliding scale, and this is what we talked about a year ago when Matt LaFleur came in, is that push and pull between the audibling and the pre-snap motion. And when Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers talk about, it's not Matt LaFleur's system, it's not Aaron Rodgers' system, it's their system, it's about finding a blend between the two, between giving Rodgers, because Rodgers needs autonomy at the line of scrimmage, because he is as cerebral, if not more cerebral, than anybody in the league. That is a strength of his. You don't want to limit one of his greatest strengths. But you also saw with LaFleur's system, when you have all these pre-snap motions, just how much it can camouflage the play design, and the defense really has no idea what's coming. So I think what they found on Sunday was the closest to a perfect balance that we've seen now in the 20 games that the two have had together, counting playoffs. So if that can continue, if they can build on that, this could be a very scary offense.
Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. They are only served with a healthy offensive line. We know that Lane Taylor is out for the season. Do we know? It sounds like Lucas Patrick should be good to go. Billy Turner, we're not quite sure of. They haven't really gone out and signed anybody. I think they might have picked somebody up on the practice squad again. But what is the latest on the offensive line?
Well, Billy Turner and Lucas Patrick both practiced yesterday, so that was good. Billy Turner returned to Thursday's practice last week in pads, and Matt LaFleur said that he was making progress. And then Friday morning, the knee didn't feel great. It was sore. It was swollen. They shut it down. So it's always the day after, once you get on the practice field, especially the day after pads. And Friday morning is always big if they're able to get out there in Thursdays in pads. So we'll see. You know, if Billy Turner and Lucas Patrick are able to go this week, that might be your starting side of the starting right side of the offensive line. Rick Wagner certainly can be in consideration for right tackle as well. Matt LaFleur said that he played well. John Runyon played well, surprisingly so, as a rookie that had no kind of forewarning that, hey, you're on the field now. But, they like Lucas Patrick. They gave him the extension last year, the two-year extension, because they believe that he's starting caliber depth, that they can put him in a game and he can take the snaps. And Billy Turner is as capable of playing right tackle as right guard, so we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Obvious follow-up would be to ask you about Kenny Clark. Do we think that he'll play, or is this a game-time decision scenario?
He said on his radio show that his foot kind of slipped and he pulled his groin. He obviously didn't return after halftime. He walked to the locker room, but did not come back, was not on the field yesterday. If he's not able to get on the field today, it's not going to look good for him for Sunday. It would probably be a surprise at that point, but not an impossibility, especially because he is the type of veteran guy at this point who doesn't need a week of practice to be able to play. So, yeah, it certainly is shaping up to be at best a game-time decision, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes during the week.
You know, we look ahead to this game against Detroit. Now Ryan Wood joining us, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. And it's hard not to think the Packers are going to win. They play at home. They just put up 43 points. the Lions had a really good couple of quarters, and they still could have won that football game, DeAndre Swift dropping a pass in the end zone. But when you let a team come back on you like that, like the Bears did, when you let a Mitch Trubisky-led team come back on you, it's going to be very deflating. Matt Patricia is not a good football coach. The Lions fired Jim Caldwell after a season they went 9-7. Matt Patricia has been 9-23-1 in his time there. I know that, you know, they've got three guys that can run the football. Adrian Peterson still seems to have life in him. Kenny Golladay, I think, is on track to return in week two, so that would be a big boon to their offense. But I have a hard time looking at this game and not thinking it's going to be a 2-0 start for the Packers.
Well, the Packers took advantage of some very young and experienced corners on Sunday in Minnesota. And what are they going to get this week other than young and inexperienced corners? So it's kind of rinse and repeat. I'm with you. The only thing to keep in mind, though, is that the Packers led for exactly 0 minutes last year. Now, they won both of those games, but they led for exactly 0 minutes in two games against the Lions. So this is a Detroit team that, if you look over the last 3, 4, even 5 years, they have played the Packers tougher than they have in decades. It's just the way it's been. I mean, under Jim Caldwell, and then even last year, leading for 120 minutes out of 120 minutes against the Packers, they've played the Packers tough. Even at times when you wouldn't expect them to. Now, you can also, you know, the flip side of that coin is that they are the Lions and they happen to lead 120 minutes out of 120 minutes and lose both games. That is a very Lions thing to do. But it's not a game that they can overlook. I mean, I'm with you. I think the Packers absolutely win this game. I don't know that it's particularly close, but I kind of felt that way last year, and they trailed the entire time until the end. So I guess what I'm saying is don't be surprised if it is closer than you expect.
Well, we'd like to see a better effort from the defense. Not that, again, we talked about this earlier in the week, but, you know, the way of this game and the prevent defense, and it was trading touchdowns. In the early quarters, the Packers' defense looked good. They held the Vikings to 10 at halftime. Where I was impressed with the defense was some of these linebackers. I thought that Rashawn Gary had some nice open field plays. He chased down Kirk Cousins on one. I don't know if it got credited for a sack. It may have, but it was a nice play by him. Christian Kirksey did very well. Chris Barnes could be a thing here. This linebacker group, I think that they might be better than anticipated if Kirksey can stay healthy. And then is this Chris Barnes guy? I mean, is he going to be a thing? Is he past whatever we expected out of Oren Burks and Ty Summers already?
I don't think there's any question he's past Oren Burks and Ty Summers, considering he was released 8 days before the opener and ended up starting over them, which says as much about Chris Barnes as it does Oren Burks and Ty Summers. That was a heck of a play that Chris Barnes made on Dalvin Cook. I mean, my goodness, that open field tackle when you beat three offensive linemen, he doesn't make that play. There's nothing but green grass and purple jerseys in front of Dalvin Cook. So that was impressive. Christian Kirksey had a lot of praise for Chris Barnes and just, you know, what he was able to do within the course of a week to get ready to play and to play the way he did. So, you know, they got to stay healthy, but there's something there. Defensively as a whole, I went back and watched the game. In the critical moments, the defense was really good. It was very clear that late they got into prevent defense, and the prevent defense was hardly anything preventative at all. It was the not prevent defense. They've got to play their prevent defense better. There's no question. They were back and playing off coverage, and, you know, they've got to do that better. But when they were not playing prevent defense, they didn't give the Vikings very much. And that's an offense that has Dalvin Cook and Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen. I mean, they've got some weapons on that offense. They other than that opening drive touchdown, they really shut them down. It was an 8-7 game late, a minute to go in the first half. So defensively, the final numbers look bad. Because they do, you can't just dismiss it. Like they do have to do better in their prevent defense. But all the actual play on the field was much better than the numbers indicate, and they've got to do it again. It can't be one time, but if they play again in the critical moments like they did Sunday, if they do that against the Lions, should be a good defensive effort.
Give me a score for Sunday.
Oh, it's tempting not to say a lot to a little. I don't think the Lions are going to really be in this game. You know, Matt Stafford might be able to put up some yards and points, but at the end of the day, let's say Packers 31 to Lions 17. Let's say two touchdowns.
All right, I'll say the exact same thing. I trust you on that one. All right, Ryan, appreciate your time. We will talk to you again after Packers Lions.
All right, have a good weekend.
Ryan Wood, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Again, by Ryan Wood on Twitter, BY Ryan Wood on Twitter, PackersNews.com, and the Green Bay Press Gazette. You can find his work each and every day there. The Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hey, is your passion outgrowing your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. I just agreed with Ryan, 31-17. I did that in the moment. I'm thinking about it now. I was younger then. I don't know if it's going to be. This has got to be a close game, right? The Packers led the Lions 0 minutes and 0 seconds in a combined 120 minutes last year. Two Mason Crosby field goals in separate games at the buzzer to get past Detroit for the season sweep. And there's an area of the Lions that I don't think we really paid much attention to the last few years that after week one, I think we got to pay more attention to. And we'll talk about that when we start to take some of your predictions coming up here momentarily on The Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. So you do look at the injury report yesterday to get a glimpse of what this weekend could look like. Kenny Clark did not practice. And as Ryan said, no practice on Thursday probably means no Kenny Clark this Sunday, although he is a veteran and he doesn't need as much of the reps to get in if he's going to play. So Kenny Clark did not practice yesterday. You also have a couple of the linemen that did practice, as Woody mentioned, Lucas Patrick and Elton Jenkins practicing, Billy Turner practicing. So that is all good. Everybody that was listed there on the offensive line is practicing. Of course, Nolan Taylor, who is out for the season, but the other guys, full participants in practice. Montrevious Adams, who we always forget about, limited participant in practice yesterday, and then Oren Burks practicing, Raven Green limited, Mercedes Lewis, it doesn't look like they're going to have him ever practice. He was veteran rest on Wednesday and then didn't practice again yesterday. So it's kind of like, it's not quite the, remember the year in baseball where Roger Clemens only pitched home games for the Astros?
Yeah, because his kid was in school or something like that. I do remember that.
That was wild.
Yeah.
So it's not quite that, but it's, Big Dog, you come back. We're not going to make you practice, but you can play every Sunday. All right, I'm in.
Right. All you really got to do is block. So you don't really need to practice. Just stay healthy and block for us.
It doesn't seem like we're going to get Kenny Clark. And we talked about this last night on Bill's Huddle.
Yeah.
I want him back. I want him back to stop the Lions' run game, which we'll talk more about in a minute. But if it is a groin and you're worried, Horvey, about some long-term effects, maybe it is wise to keep him on the sidelines, even if he thinks he can go?
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm not overlooking the Lions whatsoever, but it's week two. It's a long season. And, I mean, I'm looking to next week. You got the Saints. And I think the Saints are the most complete football team in the NFC. I don't even think Drew Brees needs to be Drew Brees for the Saints to win 13 games. I just think that they're great on the defensive side of the ball, and they just have so many weapons. Even without Michael Thomas, I think that the offense won't skip a beat. Obviously, they'll miss Michael Thomas, but I think they'll be just fine. So I'm looking for, you know, I mean, I'm looking towards that one. It's just with a groin injury, that could be a lingering issue. I don't want it to become something else. So I would rather just have him 100% healthy in a couple weeks. But, I mean, obviously there's a lot of concern because the Lions have three running backs that are capable for rushing for over 100 yards, especially against this run defense without Kenny Clark.
Some predictions coming in. We'll take more of yours. Brewers fan says Packers 31, Lions 20. This one's from Mark. He said Packers 19, Lions 10. This one's from Pato. He says the Lions will win. The Packers suck. Pato, not a very good Packers fan. 414-799-1250. We'll hear more from you guys coming up on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.